And now, from the penthouse on the 10th floor of the 10 Magazine building in downtown Itaewon, where we see it all so we can report it to you, it's the 10 Magazine Korean Culture Podcast. Welcome to the 16th 10 Magazine Korea Culture Podcast.
Woohoo!
Today we are going to have a semi-abbreviated podcast, and this is the unprepared podcast, as we all sat in.
I came prepared.
Well,
I didn't.
Just losing steam. But we do have some things we're going to talk about. In Ripped from the Headlines, we're going to talk about public transportation in Seoul. We're going to talk about the state of South Korea housing, Obama's visit to Korea, and the related nuclear talks, and related to that, the missile talks, or the missile event that's about to happen. And we'll talk about an unexpected result of the tsunami in Japan, the ghost ships. That have just started popping up on various beaches. We will also talk about something quite unfortunate. The recent, and by recent I mean several days ago, rape in Suwon, and the absolutely pathetic Korean police response to that. And then, just as a lark, with spring here, Paul and I will talk about things we like in spring, and Danny will just talk about things she likes in Korea, as this will be her first spring. So, with that said, has anything fun happened to you in the last...
Yeah, I just want to take a moment to say thank you to the USO community. I had a wonderful time at their recent, I think it was their 41st six-star salute. But it was a fabulous time. I met some great people. The generals were there, and the ambassador was there, and we got a chance to hear them all speak, and... congratulate each other on what a wonderful job we've done here in Korea. It was just a nice evening with good food and good company. So, again, thank you to the USO community.
And was this at Yongsan?
It was. Well, no. It was in the Hyatt, the Grand Hyatt.
Oh, nice. So the Grand Hyatt.
Yeah, and the food was
delicious.
A lovely place.
A lovely view, yes.
Yeah.
A bit expensive for my taste.
Not for Steve, though.
No. Did they talk about it all? This is off the cuff. Did they talk about it all, the recent exercises, actually being exercises that focused on the possibility of North Korea collapsing?
They don't get into specifics about that during a dinner.
Well, I'm a retard. And now we're going to tell you.
No, but they did. I mean, they did address the issue that Obama was here and how interesting it was to have, the talks going on now and how important it is for not only the military community, but the community of South Korea and specifically in the Seoul area, and how that relationship has continued to build, and it has continued to build, and it's, a great, agreement and understanding and friendship that we've made and we continue to build on, so.
Yeah, it's actually one of, to me at least, unexpected results of Obama's presidency. Say what you will about him, agree or disagree with him, but Korea has loved him almost out of proportion to any changes in politics between the countries.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that's all about the politics.
Oh, no.
It's more to do with the fact that he's damn sexy.
Yeah. No. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The politics continue to be the same kind of...
I think they appreciate somewhat of the... I mean, this is my opinion. So it's nobody else's. It's the well-spokenness that he has, and there is a level of, admiration that he brings, or he kind of tries to bring with the Korean community, and I think they respect that.
It might not be stretching too far to see that they see in him a story similar to their national story, which is the impossibility 40 years ago of a black man being president, and now the reality and the sort of path that Koreans have taken.
Yeah.
And of course he comes just at the time that Korea is beginning to obsess with multiculturality.
So and then they do blackface. So.
Well, but no one's perfect, Danny. Paul, what has been your 2 weeks?
I've been stuck in a darkened room every day,
being
all day.
Being a wonderful director.
Is your wife angry at you again?
She's always angry at me.
Aren't we always?
Yes, we've been rehearsing our show, so I've been ignoring absolutely anything not to do with my work.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, you've probably not seen the thing that I found most beautiful about the last 2 weeks, and that is that, apparently, fingers crossed, because there will be at least two times when I regret having said this out loud, spring has sprung.
Finally.
And it is starting to be beautiful. You can see, what are the yellow flowers on the side of Namsan, the ones that bloom first? Those are not the rape flowers.
Are you talking about the kinari?
I probably am.
These are the little bushes with the tiny yellow flowers,
yes,
on long stems. I can't remember the English name, but the Korean name is Gaenani.
Oh, you are just so much more in culture than we are.
I just actually took that hike up Namsan the other day for the first time, and it is beautiful. I would recommend that.
Just wait. Oh, and also, of course, the other beautiful thing that happens at this time of year when spring is declared to have sprung, the natural flowers come out, and then the absolute unnatural machinations of the Seoul government pulling out tray after tray on truck after truck of hothouse flowers that never saw Korea before 30 years ago.
But they're beautiful.
They are absolutely beautiful, and planting them in the various parks. So the parks in Seoul literally explode with color around this time of year.
Absolutely, and even I think when this podcast is released on the 15th, that's going to be midway through the Yeouido Cherry Blossom Festival.
Yeah, and they're all over the peninsula. There's one in Jeju-do, there's one in Busan. It's just that time of year to get out and see the cherry blossoms if you can. And we should say about the Yeouido Cherry Blossom Festival, which we probably did, keep your ear to the ground or some similar poor metaphor, because when those flowers come, they come quickly and they also wilt quickly.
Yes.
So a two-day miss at Yeouido.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Because the cherry blossoms on base, I mean, those last for a couple weeks.
Sister, American cherry blossoms.
I thought the Japanese gave them. Oh, shut up.
Okay.
You find the cherry blossoms were first coming from Korea, the cherry trees that Japan has. No, seriously.
Oh, really?
Seriously.
We invented pizza.
I was reading something, and I could be completely wrong, but there was something about the cherry trees in Korea being older than ones in Japan.
Oh.
And finding that the cherry trees may well have been taken from Korea and planted in Japan.
Possibly as an unexpected side effect of stealing all the ceramicists in the 13th century.
Possibly.
Right. And, of course, that makes sense. Whenever I look at the geography of this place, I pretty much assume that at a certain time, in the beginning of time, anything that came to Japan probably came from Korea or China.
Including evergreen trees.
Yeah, well, that's not... leaving that aside. So let's hop into turn from the headlines, and we will try not to be as prolix as we were last week. Public transportation in Seoul. Paul, this was yours. What was the trigger?
Oh, dear Lord, the sadness of it all. Just recently, there were strong winds all over the country, and sadly enough, the Seoul subway system stopped on line number 2. The impossible happened. I've lived in this country for 12 years, and the Seoul subway system has been fantastic. But line number 2 stopped. It stopped, Charles.
It
stopped.
And this was on Friday, right?
I think so, yes.
I was interviewing the LTI Korea director.
Shocking.
Kim Song-gun.
Mm.
And our photographer, our 10 Magazine photographer, not only showed up dressed like he had just come from a frat party, but showed up 25 minutes late, and it was not his fault. He had no idea what had happened. He said, I left in plenty of time, and all of a sudden, they just stopped the subway. And he said something that was repeated in several places, that unfortunately, the subway system never really announced what happened. They initially claimed, oh, this is to keep trains spaced. There was a sort of complete lack of administrative...
admittance?
Yeah, transparency.
Yes, in the UK we just say that there'd be leaves on the track. That used to be our siren call.
Yeah. In the US we say someone committed suicide.
Well, that actually happens.
I know. It's just culling the herd, culling the herd.
We're
but I love children. I love children, just so everyone knows.
It should be pointed out that the most shocking thing about this is that the public transport system went wrong.
Right.
And in Korea, the most wonderful thing about being in Seoul is that despite the terrible, terrible traffic, and the awful, awful number of cars and people who drive around by themselves.
And frequently terrible weather.
Well, it depends what you're used to. Compared to the UK,
yeah,
this is gorgeous.
That's true.
I don't mean now. I mean snow and...
yes.
At any rate, yes, and Paul's point is good, that when you come from almost anywhere in the world to Seoul and you see the transportation system, you immediately fall in love.
And the fact that also I have an application on my phone that tells me exactly when the next bus is going to be.
I do like that.
Yeah, so it ties in with the fact that Seoul is a super wired city as well.
Yeah,
it's fabulous.
It is. Well, okay. Yeah, this was epochal, and it didn't turn out to be.
Do not say that. Everyone in the States is kind of freaking out about the weather right now and how crazy it is. I mean, it's in the States right now, like in the Midwest where I'm from. It's normally in Chicago, it would still be in the mid, like, 40s, 50s on a good day. But it's, like, in the 80s, 85 already, and people are freaking out.
I sense the end times in here.
What is that, May 12th or is it April 12th?
It's Catch. October is the end of the world. October.
No, what's the Mayan calendar?
Well, that's 2012.
12, yeah, that's...
It's this year, then.
Yeah.
It's this year.
I think
May, we have to look for the rest of the signs. Cats sleeping with dogs. Two-headed cows born with just one head. That's a hard one to spot, because they look like normal cows. But if you spot one, you know times are ending. And then a certain smell of sulfur here and there in corners.
I thought that was just you, Charles.
Well, I come with that. But so, public transportation. Moving on, something else related to Seoul and Korea. The Seoul-Korea housing cooldown. And actually, Danny would put her finger on this. But if you... One of the first words that I learned to read in Korean, because I saw it, was imde, which means empty for let, something along those lines. And the imde signs, not just in Seoul, but across Korea, are blossoming like the spring flowers.
It's beautiful.
I'm not sure it's beautiful because it has real implications, because much of Korea's domestic economic boom, in a way, it's similar to what China is doing with their enormous ghost cities they're building, but much of Korea's internal economic boom has been based on the economic propulsion created by the sort of ongoing upgrade of apartments from middle class to upper class, from lower class to middle class.
It's a total economic boom of a country as a whole, though. I think that's like one of the key points on a radar, how a country is, you know, beginning to expand and grow as an emerging company, and Korea has done that very rapidly.
And they've gotten to the point now where it seems like that may have ceased. And the thing that I'm as U.S. citizens, Danny and I, most likely will immediately think of what happened in the United States.
Still happening, practically.
Right. We've not recovered. And it wasn't just in the United States. It turned out to be a blow to the international economy because the United States...
Yeah, thanks for that.
Oh, it's our fault.
Right.
Independence.
Listen, you'd be speaking German right now.
Do you really want to go there, Charles? Do you really?
Not particularly. That's along the cliche line of my French retreat insults. I'm not very imaginative. I'm reliable, though. At any rate, this...
And you do love children.
And Yes. This week I love children, and they are not a renewable resource. Wait, they are... Well, whatever. However, this raises interesting questions, because if this bubble does burst...
Which it has. Or
it hasn't really burst yet.
It's on the cusp of bursting.
Yeah, it hasn't exploded yet.
I think it has, and we're just seeing the very minor...
Well, we may be at the beginning of it. I mean, I just love to say things like this in the air. The bubble may be being pricked. And if it is...
Any opportunity.
If it is, this has the opportunity to be catastrophic, because Korea is... This is a bad time for the international economy, even as it stands, and Korea is a major player, and currently a relatively successful player.
But still very, I think, new and immature and unstable in itself, though. I mean, overall, it hasn't been playing in the worldwide game as long as some other players have been. So, to your point, I think it could be much worse for Korea compared to the U.S.
Oh, sure. Well, and Korea has built its... has built its success on a relatively narrow economic base. So it's just not a country with a lot of resources,
right,
which is what you fall back to when things go bad. So yeah, there's a chance that this could be very bad for Korea, and also, in an ancillary fashion from a Korean perspective, bad for the international market as well. So we'll just have to watch this one.
It's the end times!
As I said, beware the one-headed cows.
That's what I'm going to look out for. Just that.
Yeah, the one-headed cows. And then another thing that we're going to talk about, because Danny was fortunate enough to be at one of the sort of celebratory events of this, and it was interesting to watch for a variety of political reasons, was Obama just visited Korea and Seoul and indulged in, I don't know, how many nations?
Wasn't it 27?
27 nation, basically, nuclear reduction talks.
Yeah, that could be wrong, though.
Yeah, well,
don't quote
me on that. So, yeah, don't quote us on that, because... we're not politicians. At the same time, or around this time, Obama and the U.S. government and North Korea had arrived at what seemed like some sort of deal.
Yes. Well, and what was unfortunate about it, this all happened very recently and very rapidly. Right before this all took place, it was China, Russia, well, it was mainly the U.S. putting pressure on China to kind of come down to conversations with North Korea, and we thought... Well, not we. They thought that they had come to a deal with North Korea and the new
and the deal was
ruler.
Ruler. Who knows?
I don't know the term.
Who knows who's running that place?
But yeah, I mean, they came to a deal where, you know, they would start allowing the UN sanctions to come in and take a look at their nuclear, you know, facilities and see what kind of weapons they were producing and other chemicals, this and that, etc. But it mainly was just kind of an opening doors and opening the gateway that was once closed. And quickly, right after the meeting...
Well, North Korea, actually, this sort of a short, dirty version of this is, the deal is this, and it involves some other things, as Danny points out. The deal is, we stop working on anything that has to do with nuclear weapons and resume food aid. This is in the context of that bigger thing.
Right.
And so this deal is struck. Obama comes to Korea to have these meetings, and what do our good friends in North Korea do?
No, it was fine while he was here.
It's just
recently, in like the last day, that all of a sudden, boom.
Well, the missile, two different things. The missile thing they had been planning for...
Right.
Yeah.
And they were still in negotiations with that.
Right.
But then the next...
And I should say, my brave and patriotic compatriots in the North are building this missile because they would like to go to outer space.
Quote-unquote.
Yes, this is the rationale of the North Korean apparatchik when they put out their propaganda, although...
I guess the interesting part is, I mean, there's so many things that are going on now, and there's so many people on all fronts of the world saying to the U.S., we told you so, and they defended, their actions, Obama did, and it's, you know, once again, we get slapped in the face by North Korea. So.
Well, this is the ongoing... I mean, this is almost like... I know Kabuki is wrong, and it's an overdone metaphor. It's like slapstick. This has been going on for as long as I've been alive,
right,
essentially. And it seems like no matter what you do, sunshine policy, hurdle rain policy, snow policy, whatever, nothing really changes. And my essential feeling about it is this situation does not change until... the government of North Korea somehow changes. Because North Korea only has this, it only has two things to negotiate with. And one of those is the threat of nuclear annihilation.
Ooh. Sorry about that. Sometimes it happens.
It's the North Koreans, they're attacking!
Is that your building giving you a message?
Yeah,
no.
But usually they do it during the day. It's weird that they would do it tonight.
What's that?
They'll usually give it in English.
There's two foreigners.
Beware of the terrorist in the building.
There's two foreigners in here.
Rob?
Italy shaven ones. Okay, buddy, shut up.
Sorry.
That's just a repeat of the message.
Yeah.
It's about the elections.
What is that tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
That's
a holiday for you guys, right?
It's a holiday for me. And the other funny thing, since the elections came up while we're having this little technical difficulty, is Eunsil Soo said that if there is 70% voting turnout, he will sing and dance in a miniskirt.
Woo!
That's one way to...
to try to get those numbers up. At any rate, so now that we've had that little... maybe we'll leave that in because it's kind of cute. Where were we? We were talking about the slapstick.
Oh, it's just continuous. Cyclical.
Oh, and I was saying that the only two cards really that North Korea has is we will incinerate you, the old bulpada, so you have fire thing, and they're just trying to extend that. And then the other thing that they really have, which is kind of ironic, is the threat of collapse. These are their two big weapons.
Both of them are not good news for anybody.
Yeah.
And I don't think even China, as this last, you know, China obviously put a thumb on Korea for this last.
Kind of.
Yeah, but...
They say they did.
Well,
that's the thing that...
Nah, North Korea would not play this game unless China was...
They've always played the game.
North Korea
and China play the game together in a sense.
But there was back channel on that. This was between China and North Korea.
Yeah, there's always... I mean, but
right,
that's
right,
the
right.
thing.
No, I'm saying, so in this case, China was...
No, I think it's a face. I think it's a front that they did for us to kind of placate us.
Well, you're saying, I mean, let me see if I understand. You're saying North Korea did this without talking to China?
No, I'm sure that China was just
yeah.
We're going to pretend that we're putting the front down on you guys, but...
China has some problems with North Korea.
Some, but not enough to get involved like this. That's, we need to take those out.
No, how well, yeah, because we can, we'll have to talk about this some other time. But no, I think China is uneasy about North Korea too. They do not, they would rather have a different kind of vassal state.
That's only because right now we're like kind of doing business with them and they, we owe them money.
No, it's because at the border there's tension.
Yeah, but that's, that, there's going to be tension.
Yeah, but there are issues in the, North Korea used to play ball with China much more than it is doing nowadays. I mean, it may be different now that Kim Jong-un is in power, but certainly,
maybe not.
But that's not going.
Okay.
We don't talk about.
All right, then let's talk about this later. Let's get past this. So,
okay,
because politics is dangerous.
Yeah, and if last podcast we got in trouble for whatever, we don't want to go down the route of into the whole China North Korea thing because it's all.
But why? I mean, what does that affect us though?
It affects Steve's riches.
Yeah. This is it's better to curtail
yeah.
and to have the conversation with us, but not for the podcast.
Yeah. So at any rate,
it's an interesting conversation.
If this is going to be difficult to end because I don't know where we ended, so let me just give it a fake ending here.
Or I can say something about you can say, but Danny, I heard you saw Obama. I can just talk about how I saw him on base or anything.
Where were we on this? Okay. Well, I'm going to do two things. Let me do a false ending to that.
Okay.
We can talk about this for a long time. It's always difficult to see past the opacity of China and North Korea. So in some ways, it's really one of the best foreign policy areas because anyone with any theory can propose anything and no one can say, no, it's not because A, B, C, D. But what we had started on was your experience seeing Obama and kind of going through this international experience.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a great experience to see Obama kind of visit the base and have a chance to see him and his convoy and, you know, kind of see his interaction with the U.S. community in Yongsan. So that was very interesting.
Did you play any hoops?
You know what? I was actually, like, in the gym, like, taking a Zumba class. Not playing hoops.
She's monstrously fit.
But no, I was actually thinking, like, ooh, maybe he would show up, but he didn't.
Yeah, because lots of places he goes.
Yeah,
he goes out with just some enlisted
guys
and shoots.
Which is funny, because they
yeah.
were, like, shooting hoops, and I was like, oh, wouldn't that be funny if he showed? Because then I'd be like, ooh, watch this.
Yeah, right. All right, under the leg, around the back, behind the head, 360 slam by Danny. All right, well, the last thing we'll talk about is something that I had seen one photo of. I saw a really funny, not funny, but intriguing to me headline across Twitter saying, United States sinks on and fires Japanese boat.
Yeah.
Which sent me skittering to the web. And what it actually was, well, Danny, you tell us, because this was yours.
Well, yeah, it was just, you know, the after effects of the tsunami from Japan last year has kind of produced some, I don't know even how to put it, ghost ships is kind of the word that they're saying, where these ships and these vessels are popping up all over the world, but mainly on the west coast of the United States. And all of a sudden these, you know, obviously empty ships are kind of sitting there and they have nowhere to go and they're kind of stuck in the shores of things. And so there's no other choice other than to, for this example, to sink them, which I thought was very interesting on two elements. One, how crazy is it that a ship just all of a sudden pops up? But two, also that the only answer is to sink it.
Right.
Obviously, I didn't get into the depths of things, but I thought, you sink a ship, and that's not really great for the environment. We're already getting heat for stuff, so.
But it's great for treasure hunters.
and it's turning into target practice for the U.S. Navy. So.
Right.
And I should say,
Coast Guard, not Navy.
Oh, sorry,
Coast Guard.
And I should say, if you Google this, there's some really nice, some cool images, and there will be more as time goes by.
Well, I just think it's interesting that, or, you know, kind of scary in the fact that, or magical in the fact that all of a sudden these ships and these vessels are popping up out of nowhere. So I think that, not that anything is cool from the tsunami, but just an interesting sort of effect.
You know what this reminds me of? The end times.
Oh my God! Ghost ships roaming the earth?
Surely that was in the Bible.
One-headed calf. So what else? We have cats playing with dogs. I saw that on TV.
The apocalypse.
It's coming. It's coming.
We all joke about it. I'm going to knock on wood. Sorry.
Who's that?
The apocalypse.
So speaking of things that are semi-apocalyptic, this unfortunate thing. A couple of days ago in Suwon, a woman is going into a convenience store and she bumps into a man, and the man is drunk, and possibly the woman is rude to the man. There have been all kinds of interesting conversations online, many of which I have found totally inappropriate considering how this story ends. And the man basically grabs the woman by the arm, drags her down the street screaming and fighting into a house, and there in the house he attempts to rape her. At some point, somehow, it's unclear at this point, she achieves separation from the guy for a while, and she locks herself in a room, apparently. She has 4 or 5 minutes. She calls the police. She reports, if I understand it correctly, her GPS position, or her phone position. She reports she is in between a school and another house, and nothing happens. 13 hours later, the police, looking for her, find her body raped, killed, and dismembered. There, online, there are reports that two of the policemen who were supposed to be out looking for her initially were caught sleeping in their car. The Korean police lied about this. The emergency response person was just unbelievable. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Paul, you haven't heard much about this, you said?
No, I've been locked in a theater, so this is... Talking about it tonight is the first time I've heard about it. I've not been watching the news, and
what a great
appalling
story to welcome you out of your dungeon.
Yeah, I can't believe that in this day and age, things like this are happening.
Especially
but,
Korea, when you feel like Korea is so safe, and like I have no problems coming home at a respectable time of 4 a.m. by myself. But sorry, not to interrupt you, but it is. It's just it's shocking that this happens. But maybe it's just not reported on as much as. It is
mistaken. What's more shocking is the police response and
right.
the time it took for them to actually take this seriously and to do something. And if things had been different, then maybe she would be alive to tell the tale. And that's the really sad thing about this whole business is that someone has died, someone has been killed horribly, and something maybe could have been done to stop it.
Well, the dispatcher blew it from the very beginning. The dispatcher asked her the same questions repeatedly. He at one point asked her if she really was being raped. The police response from the dispatcher was not sort of code red, because the dispatcher categorized it as a simple rape case.
That's interesting. I mean, kind of tying into what's going on now, there's on base and kind of throughout the U.S. community, they're doing the tight jeans campaign where you wear denim, because at one point a woman was raped and the judge ruled out the rape case because her jeans were too tight, where there's no way that she could have been raped without help of taking them off herself. So she must have been asking for it.
This comes to slut walks that have been around the world, and there have been at least one or two in Korea where people are taking stance to say, no, this is ridiculous. If a woman is attacked, a woman is attacked. It's not because of the clothes she's wearing or what can be taken off easily or not. That's beyond the pale.
Yeah.
If a woman is attacked, then that's it. And the slut walks that we've had in Seoul and we've had around the world are really important to say, hang on a sec, look at what's happening here. Look at the victims who are telling you very clearly. Look at the evidence. And not just, don't fall back on some prejudice about, well, if a woman's dressed like this, then she had it coming.
Yes means, or no means yes,
well,
all that. Yeah.
And there was some, talking about the attempt to pin it on the victim, this is one of the things I wanted to talk about, because there were two kinds of tropes that emerged from this that were an attempt to blame it on her. And one was a pretty clear one, that she was rude to the guy. That she, that when she...
Because that asked for it, too.
Yeah, because, I mean...
Gosh, if that was the case, I would have been killed like 1,500 times.
A better world. ow, she hit me. See? Some responses are provoked. And then the other one was this sort of vague thing that people are talking about, the time this happened, and this happened because she was out when the buses were no longer running. And just...
What does that matter?
It doesn't matter. Sometimes, to be honest, people provoke things in certain ways and behave stupidly and whatnot.
Well, you don't put yourself in bad situations, but it doesn't mean just because you're in a bad time or a bad place that
someone
means you're asking for it.
Yeah, exactly. So then the other things that are happening, some of the other things that are happening, I wanted to get back to our friend, not the dispatcher. So the dispatcher blew it. He asked silly questions, He didn't call code red. He called it simple rape. And by the way, I think the police chief called it simple rape the next day, too, after she was dead. His excuse was, we thought it was simple rape. I am interested in seeing what complicated rape...
That's not an emergency.
Yeah. Complicated rape? Yeah, you might get a few more cops out there.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. And then the other thing was that the entire time this was happening, the neighbors were listening to this woman scream.
Yeah, this bothered me.
And when the neighbors were interviewed, they said, oh, we thought it was a domestic fight. Meaning that if these were married people, that would be okay. Now, this makes me look at my wife in an entirely new way.
Can't wait to go to your house for a Sunday dinner. I mean, I don't know. I haven't lived here long enough. But, I mean, I have gotten somewhat of the impression that the male runs the roost. And if things are happening between two married people, it's, you know, it's their business. And it's kind of handled in their own way. And you kind of ignore it, which... Back in the States for us, I think that would, you know, that happened in like the 1940s. But it's kind of slowly but surely is taking its way out of it. And I think it's sad, like you said, Paul, it's sad that it's still happening in this day and age. I don't know, you guys have a much longer experience here and you guys are married here. I don't know if that can kind of add to this.
Well, it's I think that sometimes people are perhaps worried about taking action. There are issues to do with the law and to do if you get involved in any kind of situation. If you were to go, say, and knock on a door or to make a complaint or even to take matters into your own hand to protect someone, people do seem to be worried about being blamed and being sued or being...
There's no concept of Good Samaritan in the law of Korea.
Yeah. And so this can be an issue for people that in some ways it's better to stay out of business because you're not going to get arrested for it.
Right.
Whereas if you were to wade in and do something in the heat of the moment, that might be it, even though you were doing it in somebody's best interest.
And this is both a criminal and an insurance thing. It's a very Korean, Eastern, I might even dare say, idea that anyone who gets involved bears some responsibility for what happens. So merely by involving yourself, no matter how terrible the other thing that is happening, you have some responsibility in the interaction, and if the interaction goes poorly...
That's sad.
That's a different way of looking at things, for sure. Then the final thing I'd just like to say about this before we have our concluding thoughts, which are all pretty much, oh, crap, is the other thing that has been coming up here is that this guy is ethnically Chinese. So, Chosen Chok?
Yes.
Yeah, and so that has been coming up again and again, and there's some fear that this will be a way that this thing can be distanced. And so, at the same time that this is happening...
Oh, I'm sure they're going to take every opportunity.
And, yeah, well, you know, anyone would. I think that's natural.
Yeah.
At the same time this is happening, you have Kim Jong-min from I Am a Weasel, Nanun Gosumida, who's running for... He's an opposition candidate running for office tomorrow. Or, I'm sorry, 2 days ago as this airs. And this is... They dug up something that he said 8 years ago. And he was asked about anti-terrorism measures, and he replied, quote, let's release serial killer Yoo Jung-chol and rape and kill Condoleezza Rice and kill Rumsfeld and Bush.
Oh, my God.
Now,
so
this is a left-wing politician slash comedian, which I think gives you some wiggle room, but there's not really any wiggle room for me in that.
No, the whole raping, killing of political figures in that way doesn't really tickle my funny.
Well, it's just raping and killing. What? You don't need to say that. I mean, you've lost all credibility and all funny boneness and that whatsoever.
Well, to be fair, he's getting absolutely pummeled by everybody, including the left wing in his own party, who are asking him to stand down.
Do you think he's going to claim he's bipolar?
No, what he claimed, or dehydrated,
yeah.
Or reaching back.
I can't believe Paul didn't laugh at that. Yeah. That was funny. Ding.
Paul's been very, very busy. His basic response has been, it was 8 years ago, I'm sorry, it was vulgar, we should just move past this.
Oh, this was 8 years ago that he said it?
Yeah, he said this 8 years ago. This was dug up.
That was a different time. That was, you know, we were young and foolish back then.
Yeah, sexual violence was okay 8 years ago in Korea.
Oh, now I see why it's funny.
right.
No, I don't.
And, of course, my good friend, I think I've talked about on this podcast before, novelist Gong Ji-young, who did The Crucible. Wrote The Crucible, the show about the child molestation in, I think, Southern Korea. and became fairly famous. She's waded in a couple of other times. She was very, very down on the women who wrote in support of Nanun Gomsuda on their breasts. And she came in saying she had previously called this fellow a person I would like to marry my daughter to. And she has turned against him, too. So, I suppose the good news is that this is happening. Now, this also happened after the rape case, and I wonder if people are just being...
politically correct.
Yeah, I would prefer to say more sensitive to it. But yeah, same. That's different. That's the same continuum.
Right.
Well, one would hope that this case will highlight the issue and make people more aware of people's safety and make people more willing to call the police when they should.
And, you know, it could do, because I just mentioned Gong Jiyang. When Gong Jiyang popularized the crucible, they rewrote laws about child abuse and child molestation.
It's sad that it has to get to that point, but sometimes it does.
Yeah. And then the other one that I would throw in there is when that man raped and then mutilated that young girl by trying to vacuum out the evidence. That changed, and he was drunk. And there was such a... He got a lighter sentence because of his drunkenness. However, the response to that was also radically negative. And so now there's discussion and I think some action about changing being drunk as a diminished capacity defense in Korea.
Right, it would be, like, worse in the States.
I know, that's what
that's
I said.
So
yeah.
Weird.
No, you put yourself... Yeah, I'm driving drunk, 3 times the crime.
Yeah.
The crashing into
something. You set it up.
Well,
yeah.
It's time for laws to change and it's time for the police to crack down and do what they need to do in cases like this.
Okay.
Especially for... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, especially for you guys that are more, you know, stationed here and have lived here, you wouldn't want to see, you know, the safety diminish. You wouldn't want the credibility of like, the Korean lifestyle and the culture of being so safe diminished.
Well, I wouldn't want my wife to be...
Exactly,
to be pulled off the
exactly.
And, well, it doesn't bear thinking about.
And if you ever had children or anything like that, I mean, children run... wild, not wild, but they're free to roam here, and it's nice. It's a breath of fresh air compared to, like, where we come from.
And they are not a renewable resource.
They are wonderful. Let's move on.
Okay, moving on. Now we're just going to talk a little bit, because since spring is coming here, we're going to talk about some things that... that's fine. We'll cut from now.
Do you want
one?
Oh, yes,
okay.
Thank you.
So now, as Danny plays outstanding hostess and gets us a beer... we're going to talk
I'm
about...
I'm just a woman.
You're a woman?
Kind of.
We're going to talk a little bit about if these two will stop clowning. We're going to talk a little bit about spring and things we like about Korea, since that last bit was such a Debbie Downer of a bit. And I'm going to start with something that's just about to start happening that I talk about all the time that I really love about Korea. And that is, when the weather changes in Korea, people come out.
I'm gay! Oh.
It makes all the sense now.
No, that's just me being British.
Here.
Twist.
Only a hostess, but a real woman.
Stronger than me. but one of the things I truly love is that when it starts to warm up, people come out of their houses. Apartments tend to be small. Houses tend to be small. People from the West come here and often think they're not as well lit. So it's, you know, a small... an enclosed winter in some ways, and when you come out in spring, people just explode out into the parks, onto the riverbanks, onto sidewalks. I was walking home and the little stores are starting to put out their tables, and there are little groups of friends with 40 ounces of OB or Max just sitting out enjoying the weather and talking. And this is a thing I truly, truly love about Korea in the spring. And I know in the United States, public, you know, drinking in public is a crime, but...
Not in where I'm from.
Really? From New Orleans?
I'm from St. Louis. Okay. You can have open containers.
Well, I'm all...
It is a wonderful city.
I have been to St. Louis. It is a wonderful city. I'm all for that. And that's just absolutely one of my favorite things. Paul, what does spring mean to you?
Well, spring for me is a perfect time when the weather is warmer, when the trees are blossoming. It's good to go indoors into the cinema. Because spring for me, very clearly...
Shocking. Shocking from the British theatre, Mom.
That was terrible. there are two very good festivals coming up that I think any cinephiles would be more than happy to attend. The first one is starting on the 19th and runs through to the 26th of April, and that's the 14th International Women's Film Festival in Seoul. And you don't have to be a woman to attend it. I've been there before. And there are many, many fantastic films from all over the world. The second one is the Chunju International Film Festival. That runs from the 26th of April to the 4th of May. I was there last year, and I had a fantastic experience.
And I would just following up, that was a little unexpected to me, what Paul said.
I'm terribly sorry.
I was going in a more outdoors way, but spring is unmercifully brief sometimes in Korea. And summer comes with the heat and the humidity. And then, actually, I flip. I still like doing the outside thing, you know, go outside, bottle of soju, another bottle of soju, another bottle of soju, taxi ride.
Danny's house.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But there also comes a time when it is super refreshing to sometimes, some parts of the day, live your life in the cold. And there, the cinemas and the underground markets and the cabs are absolutely outstanding because you can actually arrange a day in which you are sort of only slightly exposed to the summer. And those days can be spectacular as well.
Yes.
The other thing, of course, that we talked about last podcast is the festivals. From now till October is going to be basically a festival every weekend if you look for it.
Well, as long as you head out of the city.
Right. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, not in Seoul. You go to Chinchon for the Mayan Festival. You go to various places, and of course, you can look for this on the Ten Magazine website. And fucking good luck finding it. Okay.
That's www.tenmag.com.
And Danny, why are you laughing?
I'm not. Can I add to anything?
Yes, you may.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, as we were talking about earlier, I'm sorry, I'm probably making this longer tonight, but I came last year right at the beginning of spring, and I actually kept waiting and waiting. My friends from home were enjoying the warm weather and going outside and enjoying drinks and appetizers, whatnot. And here it was just remained cold and rainy, and then some days it was sunny, blah, blah, blah. So I always obviously thought that the fall was the best time. And then now, right now, it's just spectacular weather. And I love it. And now I know that there's so many restaurants that have rooftops or they open their windows very large. And there's so many opportunities to get out there in Seoul. And I think it is kind of a refreshing moment for me this year to see how much is going on. And I would recommend that. Like go up to Itaewon, go in the back alleys and just find restaurants and different things that are open that you can actually enjoy a spring day, because it really is not often that you can enjoy it here.
I would say also get out of the city. Go
yeah,
into
right,
the countryside,
like you said.
find a temple or find a nice open space either in the mountains or by the sea, and enjoy the fresh breezes and the warm weather before it turns moist and nasty and sticky and summery.
I hate that word.
So two things I would say. The other thing that happens at this time, and I think it's only natural, probably happens in every country this time, but it's kind of nice in Korea, is there's also like 2 to 3 weeks in which everyone's friendlier.
Yes.
Because they're...
Really?
Yeah.
Because these have been like the worst 2 weeks of my life, but it's very beautiful outside.
Well, Danny, my mom used to say, if something keeps happening to you, it may not be them, it may be you.
That's weird, because I actually kept thinking, I haven't brought anything upon myself to deserve this, but we'll cut that out, Danny.
It's the end times!
No, we'll leave that in. This is the end times edition. This just became the end times edition.
It's funny.
And then the other thing, what was I going to say? I can't remember. There were two things.
Spring.
The friendliness. I can't remember what the other one is. But no, we're not going to be long because we have... This is way shorter. The last time we were like twice what the length we should have been. I cut out massive things.
But you just have told me that I deserve what I've been getting and I do not deserve it at all.
So, now, let's move on. We kind of sort of trod into this territory in the last section, recommendations. We recommended you get out of town. We recommended you eat outside.
Mm-hmm.
Danny recommended that you go through some of the alleyways and explore in this nice weather. All good recommendations, but now it is official. 10 Magazine podcast. Golden crusted hot tub recommendations.
Woo! Yeah!
And I will start with my recommendation. And my recommendation is that you revisit the Gyeongnidan area. Because it has, again, changed so radically in terms of what is there that some parts of it are almost new. And in particular, I would suggest that halfway up Hoenam-ro, there on the right side as you head to the Hyatt, there's a new place called the Curry Pub. And the Curry Pub is an excellent combination of a la carte Indian food and beer. Although I should say, you're going to end up drinking bottled beer because the only Sangmekju is Max. It's the only Sangmekju they have, no domestic.
I prefer bottled, but anyway.
Fair enough. But this place is a really good place, and it has, what you were talking about, Danny, it has these, the front is just glass doors that can be fully pulled apart, so you're watching the street, having a beer, eating some really, pretty excellent curried food. I was a little concerned, because I'm always concerned with Indian food in Seoul. And also Vietnamese sandwiches, semi-Vietnamese sandwiches. It's
not the name.
Yeah, it's an odd semi. They call them Vietnamese sandwiches, but the bread's a little different. But it's good. It's good. And they have pork. And then they also have, they say, I haven't tried it, boar meat. And one of those beautiful...
Oh, I love boar.
Yeah, you know, they claim to have it. And one of those beautiful things that only gets in Korean menus, random meat. Which, of course, means a selection of meat. But
I like it when they surprise you. Is it giraffe? Is it zebra?
Zebra.
Zebra. Oh, from A to Z.
Yes.
Paul, what do you have for recommendation?
Well, if you're theatrically inclined.
Oh, good Lord!
It's the end of the world!
That was far better.
Thanks.
If you're theatrically inclined, then the show's... If you're theatrically inclined, then the Seoul Shakespeare Company is coming on with a new production. This time it's The Tempest, that fantastical, wonderful tale of Miranda and Ferdinand and Caliban and Trinculo and so on and so forth. And that's on the Sotong Hall near Sincheon Station, running from the 14th of April through to the 29th of April. And you can find more information on their Facebook page.
Brilliant. Danny, what's your recommendation?
I have
it. It is Rex Goliath, giant 47-pound rooster, Pinot Grigio.
You almost said it correctly. Like, congrats.
What did I blow, 47?
You will know, you're like, Pinot Grigio. All right, well, my recommendation is, once again, I would completely recommend the hike up Namsan. I have visited the Seoul Tower before and just took the bus up there not knowing that there was actually a hike, and I saw people walking up and thought, ooh, those people are nuts, even though I do work out. Anyway, I got the
opportunity. She's tremendously fit.
I really am. But I got the opportunity the other day to take the hike with a girlfriend. You go through the back alleyways of Itaewon and then head up there, and then you go through a fabulous little park. It was a great experience. You got to see a lot of the Seoul city from higher from heights that you wouldn't normally see, and it was just a really good experience. I would also recommend that, you know, once again, the ball season's going on, so if there's any expat families out there that are not familiar with certain organizations, I would take the opportunity this season to get to know certain, you know, organizations, you know, specifically like the American Women's Club or the Siwa Club or anything like that, and you know, get your name out there and get your family out there and make some great new friends, because now's the time to do it, especially with the wonderful weather. And the end of the times!
Right. Apocalypse Now. Oh, the horror. The horror. The horror. So, checking out and hoping that we will be here, that end times will be more than a fortnight away. This is Charles Montgomery.
This is Paul Matthews.
And this is Danielle Sedlak.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Paul, did times end?
It's the end times!
Excellent.
How many minutes was that?
This is short.
Less.
Yeah. I don't know. It...